Hi there. You're here with Maria, and this is Hot Stuff, the Naked Energy Podcast. For this episode, I'm joined by director at Austrian Solar Association, Roger Hackstock. Good afternoon, Roger. How are you today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Maria. Yeah, I'm fine. I think we have a rainy day today in Vienna, but sun will come back and we'll be hopeful again that we can harvest the sun here in Vienna. And I'm fine.
Vienna is gorgeous in the sunlight. Oh, all the gardens and the parks and the center. Street of Vienna is gorgeous in the sunlight. I really miss Austria. Waiting for my next holiday.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come to Naked Energy Podcast. Just if we could take a few minutes to introduce yourself to our listeners, could you briefly introduce your career path? What's your background and how did you come to join sustainability industry and currently leading Austrian Solar Association?
Yeah, I've studied at the Technical University of Vienna, electrotechnical engineering originally, but actually I never worked in another field than renewables. I started with renewables immediately after my studies at the university, and I sticked to it the last decades. I'm dedicated to solar thermal since 30 years. Already.
30 years. Oh, that's amazing.
30 years. Yeah. I'm really an old timer in the solar thermal business. Yeah.
you are the OG of the solar thermal industry.
Right.
It's interesting because I've had a conversation with Barbel App. A journalist that runs Solarico.com and Solarico Society. And she joined Solar Thermal Journalism and Thought Leadership 20 years ago. So you're even profound in that than her. So that's amazing.
And I started my to work with solar on the issue of solar thermal by doing research on the Austrian self-built movement of solar thermal 30 years ago, because we had this self-built movement. People built solar thermal installations themselves in groups, and I did research about that.
That's very interesting. Could you tell us a bit more about the outcomes of the research? What were the variables that you were looking into, and what was the outcome? What was the thesis?
The research question was: is it possible to transfer this approach to other technologies? Mm. So this was the issue, and we realized it was very special. It was a special social movement of self-building groups on solar thermal installations for hot water.
And
it was really a large movement. It was in the late 1980s. Half of the Austrian market was covered by this self-built movement, and the other half was commercial.
That's incredible. I've never heard of that, but I have heard about all the amazing incentives that Austria is putting forward in terms of helping the renewables flourish on the market and helping to install more and more renewable energy in residential spaces and commercial spaces. So I've heard that, but more recently, not in 1990s. So that's incredible. Wow, very interesting. And
this self-built movement helped Austria, is one of the reasons why we were 10 years ahead of the other countries. Because it started in Germany and in France and Italy years after, but we were 10 years ahead because of this self-built movement. It started earlier, the solar thermal diffusion in Austria, because of that.
Wow. Interesting. Do you think some of that still exists in some parts of Austria or some of the leftover collectors?
No. It's gone. Mm-hmm. The self-built movement is gone because the commercial supply took over.
Yeah, because the
reason of the self-built movement was that there was no satisfying commercial supply in these days.
Yeah, and I believe it's more convenient right now to go to a customer who will do the O&M, development, design, installation for you.
To the installer, to the plumber, yeah. It's not necessary any longer, the self-built movement.
Right. Well, that's cool. I've never heard of my country doing
that. That was my start. And then I've worked in different fields. I think I've worked on all renewable technologies. I did my master thesis on wind energy, and I'm a co-founder of the group of appropriate technology at the University of Technology in Vienna. And I also worked with water and with pellets. The first pellets study in Austria was done by me and the colleague, and photovoltaics and all. I think I already covered all renewables, biomass, boilers, and everything. And then 20 years ago, I realized that the solar thermal industry founded Austria Solar, the Solar Association. And I was really pleased. And I said, well, that's fine. Now this association is there, and now the market will boom, and now you can do many things to help the market by the association. But the association was not really taking up. I was always talking to the board of directors and complaining on the bad work of the associations. And during one of these complaints, they told me that I should consider
you
to
should
do
lead
it myself.
The movement.
Leave the movement and come to us. So I did. And so I stepped into the associations, and this is since 20 years. I'm the managing director with 3 years break.
Why did you break? Did you decide to focus on something else?
Yes, I thought after 12 years it's enough. And I've written two books on energy transition, and one book was I finished after I had quit the job. I finished this book, and then I wrote a second book, and then they called me back into the association, and now I'm here again since 2016, already 7 years.
Right. Does it feel new or novel now that you rejoined, or is it sort of the same set of problems, challenges, successes, or it's drastically different because of the speed of energy transition?
The job is the same.
Yeah.
And what you have to know and your talents as well, that's the same. But the surrounding change, the framework conditions, the technology, the markets, there are many changes since then. Have been mainly changes, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But can I ask a personal question? So I'm a chemical engineer by training in my degree. So I finished chemical engineering master's recently, and I've always thought, how can I apply my chemical engineering degree to actually being a holistic practitioner in all renewable technologies, and hearing you doing wind power, doing photovoltaics. I know that wind and photovoltaics are very much EEE, so electric and electronic engineering focused, and it's a big big plus if you have a EE degree under your belt for that. But how many transferable skills do you think an engineer have in order to apply their knowledge to other renewable technologies? And for example, could a person specializing in photovoltaics go to solar thermal and excel there, or someone with a background in wind come and pioneer solar thermal industry in a few years? What are your thoughts on that? It's a personal question, because I'm genuinely interested to know how transferable my skills are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think your skills are perfect for the storage technology development.
Mm.
Because we have a real problem with storing energy, electricity and heat. And what we need are chemical engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect, yeah, because the especially these long-term storages, yeah, we need this chemical and phase-changing storages that are not really developed properly until now, and so we really need experts and researchers to develop them further to bring them to the market.
I absolutely agree. And there are so many exciting developments with exactly what you said, phase change materials that are employed in in a membrane form or batteries. It's so exciting to see. But there are many, many caveats to employing them, whether it's cost or danger of a deployment or scarcity of resources.
Yeah, they have to become more compact, cheaper, more efficient. But there is really a big potential if we have these storages, for instance, for heat. They would be really crucial to solve the problem of bringing the heat from summer to winter, also in medium and small scale installations. Because in big installations, you have this large storages, ground storages with water and so, but really these chemical storages for households or for small and medium enterprises, this is really missing a market.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I do believe in complementary technologies. So I do believe that solar thermal can be integrated with aquifers, with batteries, with heat pumps successfully, and to tackle the intermittency and to tackle seasonal change. I'm a big believer in that, but there are very minimal case studies on how someone can do that successfully, unfortunately, as of now. So looking forward to working on that and maybe seeing some developments around the globe on that topic as well.
I stepped into this topic years ago, and actually in this 3 years break in the association, for 1 year I was the leader of the storage of the Austrian Storage Initiative, and there is also a website on it, but it's in German. It's Speicherinitiative.at, so storageinitiative.at, and there is all the knowledge we have in Austria on electricity and heat storages of all kinds.
So
I really stepped into this storage issue once years ago also.
So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on integration potential of solar or solar thermal currently?
On the storage side, you mean? Or
yes, on the storage side, yep.
Yeah, I mean, we still have these hot water storages dominantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we are with the solar thermal installation possibilities, we are limited to this storage technology still. Yeah, but there would be much more possibilities for solar thermal to cover all year heat demand if we would solve this chemical storage problem. Okay. And they are really doing research on it since years. Since 10 years and longer, also by the international energy tasks, but it's going really slow.
Yeah, no, there are many problems in finding the correct material and how to make it rechargeable and improve the cycle life of such materials and storage, and improve the storage capacity. Well, moving on to a more I would say solar thermal topic. Well, we were talking about solar thermal just a minute ago as well, but could you just generally shed some light on how the uptake of solar thermal technologies has changed in Austria and neighboring regions that you cover or you overlook in the past year? So since the energy crisis has begun a bit more than a year ago, how did that shift or didn't change really. I would love to hear your perspective on the uptake of solar thermal in Austria within the last year, or maybe something that has catalyzed it otherwise in the last 5, 3, or 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Astonishingly, in the last 2 years, or since the start of the war, since beginning of the war, not so much has changed. The solar thermal world, solar thermal business issues in Austria. This change has started many years ago. I would say in the last 10 to 15 years, the solar thermal business very largely changed from the focus on small scale installations to the focus of large scale installations to process heat and solar district heating. So this shift from the small scale installations to large scale commercial installations is ongoing since more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And you can realize it on the market. Also, new players, turnkey suppliers, and so are on the market now that had not been on the market 10 years ago. So this shift on the market we can observe. And it's not only in Austria. You can observe it in many countries, in France, in Italy, in Germany, Denmark. So this is the shift of the solar thermal markets. The overall shift in the last decade, you can observe not so much changed in the last 12 months.
I see. And do you think the drastic shift in the last decade was motivated by the government opportunities and lobbying the technologies, or that was the societal uptake and really the view on solar thermal which motivated commercial businesses or residential market to go and look for solar thermal providers and install it on their roofs? What was the driver for that change, and what could be the driver for maybe the next decade that will even more drastically improve the situation on solar thermal in Austria?
One driver might have been the change in the supply on the supply side, so that technology development and the shift to more system solutions fostered this change from small scale to large scale installations. So the supply side changed in solar thermal, also companies started to look on decarbonization more than in the last years. The households started with it, but also government programs, subsidy programs, for instance, helped to foster this market segments. For instance, in Austria, we have since 2010 a solar thermal large-scale subsidy program,
right,
which is unique worldwide, yeah, because it's only solar thermal. It's not. It doesn't cover renewables and part of it solar thermal. It's a pure solar thermal large-scale subsidy program since 2010, and you get up to half of your investment subsidized. So that's very attractive, economically attractive. And this helped to develop the market for solar thermal large-scale installations in the last 10 years.
That's brilliant.
One of the drivers.
That's brilliant. Is it still live? That's subsidies.
Yeah, it's still live. Yeah.
Incredible. And it's available for both commercial and residential opportunities, or just commercial big installations?
Commercial installations, also in housing, but not by tenants or by private house owners, but by commercial housing companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
It has to be a commercial submitter for a proposal, for a subsidy proposal, either a company or a utility or a housing company or so.
Or building developer, I understand.
Building developer, right.
Amazing. Wow. No, that's a brilliant initiative. And I've never heard of a 50% subsidy running for so long just for solar thermal, just for one technical solution. That's amazing. So I believe that drastically motivated commercial businesses to uptake that technology. But in terms of other things, and maybe that's societal or economic or governmental indeed, even though we know that Austrian authorities do a lot in order to support solar thermal development in the region. What are the key challenges that are currently present in deployment of solar thermal in your region? And what do you think would be possible solutions to overcoming them? And maybe introducing something like a discount scheme or a training scheme for installers, or widening the market in terms of suppliers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, now we have to differentiate the two markets, the small and the large scale market. On the private household solar thermal market, there is a very harsh competition since many years by photovoltaics and heat pumps that took over the market, because also photovoltaics became cheaper and cheaper. So there is really strong competition by these technologies that solar thermal has to tackle with. And there are only a few paths of solutions to overcome that. And one path would be that solar thermal companies that are producers, traders, retailers, mm-hmm. also step into the installation business and install force and advertise for solar thermal themselves, because the normal business is that the trader and the producer sell it to the installer, and the installer sells it to the customer and he installs it. And that really doesn't work, yeah, since decades. The market is going down and down, and it's very hard to convince the installers. Training programs to unwilling installers are not very effective.
This is what we are dealing with. Pushing some education.
You can't educate someone who is not interested.
And why do you think they are reluctant in deploying solar thermal? Is it because it's hard to deploy, or there is a lack of knowledge how to plumb the system and connect it up? Or what? Why is there such a pushback from the installer team?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most comfortable technology for an installer. Honestly, he has to know a lot. He can. There are many possibilities for failures. Yeah, he has really to take care for a proper installation, and it takes time for the installer. Yeah, and I mean, although he can make good money with it, yeah. It's work. Yeah, it's work, and it's not so easy. And often things, if they make failures, solar installations don't work at the start, and they have to correct something. And so it's not the it's more photovoltaic. It's much more comfortable, or a heat pump, much more comfortable. You transport the heat pump into the basement. Yeah, you plug it in, and that's it. And with solar thermal, you have these pipes from the basement to the roof, and you have to work on the roof, and you have to fill it with this mixture of
solution.
With glycol water mixture, and you have to find the right mixture, and there is a pressure in this cycle you have to take care of, and there are many things you have to take care of that it really runs properly, and it's a. It's not the most easy and most comfortable technology for the installers. And the installers, they are somehow, they also like to have more comfortable work and technologies where they don't have to cope with
problems,
fancy stuff, with problems. This is one reason.
I completely subscribe to that notion where installers are looking down on solar thermal because of the amount of complexities that can arise in the system, and different roof geometries, different plant room geometries and setups. I completely agree. And one thing I can say, it's no different from Austria in the UK here. Installers do look to install photovoltaics, do look to install heat pumps, and are reluctant to operate with solar thermal technologies. And we are very grateful to have a brilliant partners in terms of installers right now who are diligent, who look out for those problems in order to solve it and to make sure that the operations run smoothly and the system runs smoothly, but also who are then going back to the site, dealing with pressure, losses, or different other complexities or system improvements. We are so grateful. But what I can say right now, to even further support your point, is that that installer network is very, very minimal. It's very tiny. And we are looking to expand our partnerships in terms of installer networks. So if you are out there listening to this and you are part of the installer team, please reach out. We are looking forward to hearing from you if you are brave and you are not afraid of installing solar thermal, because it's such a brilliant technology to have on your roof, and it does decarbonize your heat, which is a massive, massive and part of your carbon emissions in the houses and commercial spaces. Yeah, so I completely agree.
Yeah, I can say to the installers that our experience is, and what we are also told by installers, if you specialize on solar thermal, then it starts to become fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you have the knowledge. Yeah, then you have a routine. And then also you know how to communicate with the customers, and then also installations run from the start perfectly. But you have to kind of specialize with it. So specialization means not install one solar thermal installation a week, but 10 a week. Then it starts to be fun.
We do have, I do encounter installer networks that have installed one solar thermal system, and they then put it on their portfolio of things that they can do. And when it comes to discussing specifics of the project, then it's getting uncovered that they only done one and they don't really specialize.
Yeah. We have in Austria, for instance, we have 2,000 installers, around 2,000 installers, and each of them at least has installed one solar thermal in his lifetime. So because we have in Austria more than 300,000 solar thermal installations running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this installation. So every installer has at least installed one installation, but most of these 300,000 installations were done by, 10% of all installers. But they really have vast experience.
Yeah, those 10% are living the best life right now, I believe.
They would like to have the best life, but because the market is declining, and so they can't install as much solar thermal installations as they would like to.
Declining because of how much capacity was installed previously, or declining because of other technologies coming available?
We had the peak years were 2018, 2009, where 1,000 square meters were installed each day in Austria. 1,000 square meters each day, so 356,000 square meters a year. Mm-hmm. We lost 90% of this market in the last 14 years. We are now at a tenth of this market volume.
Is it because of competition with heat pumps becoming prevalent?
Heat pumps, PV, and the whole public discussion circles around PV, and also the communications, and everyone is talking about PV. So, yeah. It's the whole awareness shifted that solar is PV. It's very hard to get through that solar is PV, and there is another technology which is much more promising regarding heat.
Yes, because heat is still a problem. We still, I believe Austria still gets snowy. in the winters.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs the heat and it needs decarbonization of that heat. So even though PV could be interconnected to a heat pump and then you could run your heating from that, but solar thermal is much easier in terms of decarbonizing your heating demand, I would say. So that's a pity that it's declining, but I believe there are still some installations going on, right?
Yeah, yeah, there are some installations going on, right? We have a market around 6,000 installations a year or so last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not so much, but what we are talking about, the declining market and everything, that covers the small scale installations. With the large scale installations, it's a different story, because there had been funded more than 400 large-scale installations in the last 10 years that become larger and larger from year to year and became megawatt thermal, megawatt installations. And we stepped into utility district heating installations, into process in heat installations with large corporations and so on. So there is really a development on this side.
Oh, that's brilliant. And what would you say the proportion is of solar thermal? So obviously there are solar thermal that is concentrating solar thermal, or solar thermal that is evacuated in evacuated tubes, or there is just a flat plate solar thermal. What is the proportion that is taken up by commercial market of this technology mix, or is evenly spread?
No, it's mainly flat plate collectors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I know that UK traditionally has, I don't know, 10% or more of evacuated tube collectors in the total market.
Mm-hmm.
Even you also Naked Energy makes this evacuated tube collectors, but the market share in only in Europe, only in Germany and UK traditionally had a remarkable market share of evacuated tube collectors. We have 99% flat plate collectors and only 1% of evacuated tube collectors. So that plays traditionally no role in Austria, this technology.
Interesting. Okay.
Only flat plate collectors and concentrated collectors like parabolic trough or we don't have installations yet. But we have feasibility studies running on this technology for process heat, interestingly. A handful of feasibility studies with large corporations are looking into the possibilities of using this technology for a process heat, solar process heat.
Well, yeah.
But no installations yet.
Concentrating power and concentrating solar thermal is very, very attractive for process heat, I think. But also, if you do manage your solar thermal technology well enough and you integrate it as a preheat system, you could integrate evacuated tubes as well for process heat. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
as well.
And also you can use it in the cascade. For instance, we have one member, a Swedish company, who use flat plate concentrated and evacuated tube collectors in a cascade. So they preheat the water by flat plate and evacuated tube collectors and then heat it up to 120, 130 degrees by the parabolic trough.
You can
also use both technologies in one installation.
Interesting.
In one site.
I do believe that obviously increases the capex, but in terms of technological feasibility and technological outcome, that's a very exciting application. I agree. Finally, wrapping up this beautiful episode, thank you so much for the discussion, Roger. You've mentioned that you've authored two books, and one book in particular talks about energy transition. And could you let me and the listeners know maybe key three or five learning points from that book, which was published in 2017? And so three learning points from that piece of work. And what are your thoughts on the future of those key learning points, do you think they will change? Do you think they already has changed, or something is going to be living forever in terms of your energy transition book that you've published?
Yeah, it's the first book was published 2014. The second book 2017.
Yep.
And the first book is on the history of energy transition. So the ups and downs during four decades is more a story on the energy transition. And the second book goes more in detail with all technologies from solar thermal to electromobility. Yeah. Also, also energy efficiency. And it's not only solar thermal, it covers all technologies. And one basic message is that if we really want to shift from fossil fuels to renewables, then this also means that we have to take over the responsibility for the energy supply, the full responsibility. Yeah, that's often not so. The renewable branch and the renewable technologies and associations often are not so aware of the fact that the fossil fuel supply still has a lot of responsibility, that we have always heat and electricity when we want, and that the energy system works. And if we send them home, and that's the target, that's the aim, then we have to take the responsibility ourselves for the whole system, not only for a feed tariff or for a subsidy for installation, but for the whole system, that it works 24/7. In all cases, with no, if there are crises or so, that there is no interruption. Yeah. So this is our responsibility of the future. So this is a big task we have to be aware of.
This is a huge undertaking.
Both books are covering this issue, and the second book also shows. The technology is there. Yeah. We need smart system solutions. So it's not the collector, or it's not the storage device, or it's not the electric circuit or the controller, electric controller. It's the combination of all. It's combination of, we need smart system solutions, because this is what solves the energy supply problem if we shift from fossil to renewable. So this is take over the responsibility for the whole system. Look for smart solutions, smart technological solutions, because it's not only a single technological device. We have to find ways that energy transition is more fun. So that it's not only a collector or a wind turbine or a heat pump, but it's a climate party. We have to come to that.
Climate party. I like that phrase. Climate party. Yes.
And then it will work out.
No.
And it's even, this is a teaser. I'm working on a new book, and the title is Welcome to the Climate Party.
Welcome to the Climate Party. Is it gonna be translated to English?
I don't know. It's not yet published
it's not
in German.
Published. So. because if so, I would love to have a copy, and I will go with my little English to German dictionary and just read it in my own time. Nope. Thank you, Roger. No, that's very interesting, and thank you for summarizing.
I'll keep you updated.
Please do. And good luck with writing that. I would say the procedure of making the climate change a climate party is something that I would love to read about and educate myself on. Thank you for the key learning points that you mentioned from your books, and hopefully good luck with your third one. That's amazing. Please don't stop working at Austria Solar to finish that. I believe you are doing a tremendous job at ASA. And thank you for this discussion, and thank you for your time today.
Thanks for hosting. Thanks for the invitation.
No. Thank you for carving out your time on a Friday afternoon to come to Naked Energy Podcast and talk about solar thermal. I was very excited to meet you, and I wish you the best of luck in the next decade of fighting for energy transition to net zero and solar thermal in particular. Thank you, Roger. Have a brilliant day.
Yeah, thank you. We never give up. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.